deeper look now at that swing state of Ohio. Here is a place that is going to be crucial in the 2012 election. We've said it many times. It has a deeply troubled manufacturing center, struggling with recession, yet is also doing much better than the rest of the nation in other key regions. Traditional manufacturing town Cleveland is still experiencing rough times with continuing job losses. But Cincinnati, a center of conservatism in the state, seems to have halted the job decline and has started something of a turnaround, while Columbus is looking like a high-tech financial industry boomtown. It shakes up the political rhetoric. It's not so much a question of pointing fingers to assign blame for bad times as much as trying to take credit for the guardedly positive and impressive good times. Where does this growth place the political mood of this swing state in November on Election Day? We turn now to ML Schulze, news director at WKSU, smack in the middle of that manufacturing sector in Northeast Ohio. ML Schulze, welcome back to the program.
Thanks very much, John.
So how does this conflicting kind of good times, bad times picture in Ohio affect the politics and the campaign right now?
Well, Ohio's unemployment rate has actually been coming down since early 2010. And former Governor Ted Strickland, who was on stage this week at the Democratic National Convention, tried very hard to run for re-election on that point. We've been, yes, things are bad, but things have been getting better. It was very hard for Ohioans to believe him when getting better still meant an unemployment rate of somewhere around 10%. It just didn't resonate with people. People felt afraid. If they hadn't lost their own job, they feared they would, or they knew someone who had. Now we're down around 7.2%. We have a governor, Governor Kasich, a Republican, who claims a lot of credit for that for on GOP policies, saying they're responsible. But regardless, people are starting to see the rate down around 7%. That's not good. There are still a lot of people who are underemployed, but it may be a little bit more believable that things are actually getting better.
So the fear continues in Ohio, but how can Governor Kasich, a Republican, take credit for the recovery without Barack Obama getting some of the credit at the same time in the state of Ohio?
Well, one thing that Governor Kasich does is use the phrase headwinds, that we are getting better, but we're running into headwinds of federal policy that are not helping us out. What former Governor Strickland and what Mr. Obama and what a legion of supporters from the Democratic perspective say is, no, no, what you've got is a recovery that started because of Democratic policies, because of tax cuts that were a part of the economic stimulus package, because of spending that was part of that, that kept things from going so deeply down that recovery would have been years away. And, of course, they repeatedly point to the auto bailout, saying this is what made a crucial change in not only the economic but in the whole philosophy and the whole feeling Ohio had about itself.
Talking with ML Schulze at WKSU in Northeast Ohio about the peculiar sort of growth situation taking place in Ohio and how that affects the politics in this state. You referred a moment ago to the auto industry, and that's something President Obama referred to explicitly in his speech last night. Listen.
After a decade that was defined by what we bought and borrowed, we're getting back to basics. And doing what America's always done best, we are making things again. I've met workers in Detroit and Toledo who feared they'd never build another American car. And today they can't build them fast enough because we reinvented a dying auto industry that's back on the top of the world.
So does that play in Columbus? Does that play in Southwest Ohio, which is noted for its conservatism, maybe not in Dayton, but certainly in the region generally?
Yeah, well, Columbus, you got to understand, it's a company town, and that company is government. So we kind of set that aside. If you look at Cincinnati, it is not swayed by those arguments. There is still a lot of belief that, hey, the unions got a cushy deal out of this, that Obama paid back his friends in the auto bailout, and so they set it aside. But in Northeast Ohio, it is really energizing a lot of union workers, union families, and though they're a very small percentage now of the total workforce, they are a very large percentage of the kind of people that will be expected to go out and get out the vote. And so that's pretty key. It's also played in the psychology of Northeast Ohio. I moved here back in 1978, and from as long as I can remember being here, we were feeling like manufacturing was fading, was disappearing, and especially after the 81 recession, that we were just losing everything to other countries. And there just is more of a sense that bleeding has at least been slowed.
looking at the unemployment picture in the state of Ohio and how that is politically significant as we head towards November with the convention over at the Democratic National Convention down in Charlotte. We're talking with ML Schulze, news director at WKSU in Northeast Ohio. So let's talk about that psychological factor. Is it the case that whatever the specific numbers are, it softens up people, improves their morale so that they're likely to take action and actually head to the polls or volunteer for the Democrats and even perhaps the Republicans? It makes this more of a hotbed swing state, yes?
Yes, it does. You would look at the numbers and you'd say, gee, unemployment is better than the national average. It's been going down steadily. That should all play in Mr. Obama's favor. And to an extent, as far as people actually believing that it is a sign that things are getting better and will continue, yeah, it does. But there still are large buts. There still are a lot of people who have lost their homes or fear they're going to lose their homes, a lot of people who are working part-time jobs or working the new gig economy and don't want to be. They want a steady full-time job with benefits. So you have pretty much people trying to read ahead and figure out in 2 months, where are we going to be 2 months past that or a year past that?
And it's interesting, if Mitt Romney comes to Ohio and says, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? There are a lot of people in the audience that may be saying, you know what? I am. That's a political problem for the GOP.
That is a problem. And it's also a problem for Mitt Romney, who generally is a pretty optimistic guy about things. He has to, on one hand, say, no, you're not better off. Pay no attention to the numbers behind the curtain. On the other hand, he has a Republican governor who is, he goes off script. He says, we're getting better. We are absolutely getting better. And so you have kind of a dichotomy of the messages within the Republican Party itself.
ML Schulze, news director at WKSU in Northeast Ohio, setting up the political context for the campaign between now and November using the unemployment figures as a base. ML Schulze, thanks so much.
Surely.
Politics, economics, let's recap now. Jobs report came out today. The unemployment rate dropped 0.2%, 8.1 from 8.3. About 96,000 jobs were added to the economy. Do you have a takeaway on that?
This is John Atkinson from Miami, Florida. Quite surprised with your description of the jobs numbers. It's actually an awful set of numbers. The number of 96,000 new jobs is significantly lower than the 120,000 to 160,000 that was predicted. The job participation rate continues to shrink, and it's shrinking persistently over the course of this president's tenure.
We did note the dichotomy in the number of jobs created versus what was expected, and that labor force participation rate is the lowest since 1981, so a very good point there from our listener. You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We're asking the question as we try to recover, do you feel like we are as a nation in this together, or do you feel like you're on your own? Brian in Southfield, Michigan says, we're in this together. When my employer closed its doors, all 140 of us were suddenly out of work. However, whenever one of us learned a job opening or a training opportunity, we would tell all the others. Listener in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, on my own, government types like Obama only look out for themselves. How are you feeling? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post your story to facebook.com/thetakeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.